I'd like to thank you for taking some time to look into the last book of the Bible with us, the book of Revelations. I titled this new series of messages, The Return of the King. There's a lot of different things going on in Revelations, and a lot of people get distracted by a lot of events. But I think what's important is that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back again. I wrote this message for October 3rd of 2021. Hard to believe it's October already. And I titled it The Prelogue. And our text will be Revelations chapter 1, 1 to 3. I made what I would call a nifty handout for you to stick into your Bible to mark your place. If you pause this and look at the outline there, print it out, it's designed to fit into your Bible so that as we work through this in the next few months, you'll be able to track where we are and look ahead to where we're going. I want two things for us as we read and study the book of Revelations. First, we study the book to know the author. We study the book to know the author. We don't study the book of Revelations to understand all the meanings of all of these different images or all the timing of how this all fits together. We study it to know the author of the book, Jesus Christ. And as he introduces our text to us in a minute, he will clearly say that Jesus is the one dictating this to John the Revelator. Second thing is, I want us to think of it as a picture book, not a puzzle book. A lot of times people look at the book of Revelations and they try to fit all the puzzle parts, the timing of this, the meaning of that, why is so on and so forth. But I want us to look at it as a picture book, God showing us a picture, painting us a picture of what's going to be happening. So I have two main authors that I'm working from in this study. The first one is John MacArthur, and he has a book titled Revelations, and it's subtitled The Christian's Ultimate Victory. And the second one is The Returning King, and it's a guide to the book of Revelations. And when I was on Amazon, I actually picked it for the name because I don't really know the author, Vern S. Poitiers. But the premise was what I liked, and I like reading the book and what he has to say. So my outline for the day, the prelogue, first we'll look at an introduction to Revelation. Second, we'll look at some of the interpretive challenges in this book. And third, can we understand Revelation? So we'll have an introduction, we'll look at the challenges of interpreting it, and then try to answer the question, can we understand Revelation? So on your handout there, the introduction to Revelations, and this is the contents page from the John MacArthur book we're working from. Back to the Future, Revelations chapter 1 to 20, and we'll cover that in the month of October. Second thing, the message of the churches, part 1, and that's in Revelations chapter 2, and we'll go over that in October and November of 2021. The message to the churches, part 2, Revelations 3, we'll do that in November and December of 21. A vision of Christ in heaven, Revelations 4 and 5, and we'll do that in December of 2021. The coming of the seals, Revelation 6 and 7. We'll look at that in January of 2022 already. God's triumph of Revelations is the next thing we'll look at. That's chapter 8 and 9. It's actually God's trumpets. I read that wrong. God's trumpets, Revelations 8 and 9. The two witnesses, we'll look at them in Revelations 10 and 11. The terrible triumphant, Revelations 12 and 13, and somehow or another I put an E is in the end of that line of triumvirate. I don't know why. Victorious Voices, Revelations 14 and 16. Destruction and Devastation, that's a nasty one, Revelations 17 and 18. Christ and His Kingdom, Revelations 19 and 20. And All New, that's Revelations 21 and 22. And that's the end of the book of Revelation. So, there is a happy ending for those who know the author, his father, and live in his spirit. As we look through this, there is a happy ending for the people who stay faithful to the end, who know and love the author of this book, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and who know his Father, and who live in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So number two on our outline, the interpretive challenges, and Mr. MacArthur helped us with this too. No other New Testament book poses more serious and difficult interpretive challenges than Revelation. The book's vivid imagery and striking symbolism have produced four main interpretive approaches. So, as we go through, which one of these four most describes your interpretation of Revelations? Excuse me. Which of these four most suits what you believe today? First, the priest approach interprets Revelations as a description of first century events in the Roman Empire. It's all about us, and it's all done, is a way I summarized it. This view conflicts with the book's own often repeated claim to be prophecy. It is impossible to see all the events in Revelations as already fulfilled. The second coming of Christ is a good example. Obviously, that did not take place in the first century. So, the basic premise of this first idea is it's all done. But the truth is, it's not all done yet. So, here's a little sidebar note. As I studied that, this interpretation comes from the time when the Roman Catholic Church was the world power. So that view that it all took place in the first century was when the Roman Catholic Church was being formulated. And if you think back all the way through the Dark Ages, when the Roman Catholic Church ruled most of the known world through the church, only priests had a copy of the Bible, and only they were allowed to read it. And naturally, it's all about us was what they taught, that Revelations was all about them and that period of time. Very powerful time. Secondly, the historic approach views Revelations as a panoramic view of church history, from the time of the apostles to the present. Seeing in the symbolism such events as the barbarian invasion of Rome, the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, the emergence of Islam, and the French Revolution. So I liked that section as I read it, the barbarians that invaded and destroyed the Roman Empire were my German ancestors, and the Roman Catholic Church was incredibly powerful at the time, and we live in a time where the emergence of Islam is just amazing. And so these events are historical events. The interpretive method robs Revelations of any meaning for those whom it was written. It also ignores the time limitations the book itself places on the unfolding events. Historicism has produced many different and often contradicting interpretations of the actual historic events contained in Revelations. So, the next one is the idealistic approach. It interprets Revelations as a timeless depiction of a cosmic struggle between the forces of good and evil. Part of that I really like. In this view, the book contains neither historic allusions nor predictive prophecy. This view also ignores Revelation's prophetic character and, if carried to its logical conclusion, severs the book from connection with actual historic events. Revelation then becomes merely a collection of stories designed to teach spiritual truth. So the essence of that way of thinking is the meaning of Revelations is all spiritual. Finally, the fourth one, the futuristic view or approach, insists that the events in chapter 6 to 22 are yet in the future, and that those chapters literally and symbolically depict actual people and events yet to appear on the world scene. It describes the events surrounding the second coming of Jesus Christ, the millennium, and the final judgment, and then an eternal state. Only this view does justice to Revelation's claim to be a prophecy and interprets the book by the same grammatical, historical method as chapters 1 to 3 and the rest of Scripture. So can you find your way of thinking and believing in those four? John MacArthur is in the futurist approach, and I probably am too, with a dash of the good and evil thing. But I think a lot of it's up front, but I think there's also a lot for us to learn about the power of good and evil in the world we live in and the world to come. So, back to our outline. Prelogue, first, the introduction to Revelation. Second, the interpretive challenges that we just looked at. And third, can we understand Revelation? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 representing very little understanding, and 10 a complete and full understanding, how would you rate your current understanding of Revelations? 1, you don't know very much about it at all, and 10, you're an expert. Where would you rate yourself in how you understand the meaning, purpose, and all that's written in Revelations for God speaking to us? What do you think? What do you hope to learn from our study? As we go through it, what's your goal? What are you hoping for? Can the book of Revelations be understood is the question. Yes, it can. I believe it can be understood. Revelation's message can be summarized in one sentence. God rules history and will bring it to a consummation in Christ. That summarizes the whole book. God rules history and will bring it to consummation in Christ. So, a lot of you know that I don't spell very well, and when my children were in homeschool, Julie taught all three of us that history is really his story. And from that point on, I could spell that word, his story. That's what history is all about. It's the story of Jesus Christ from creation to the time in the end of Revelation when he makes it all new. That's what it's all about. And the book of Revelation shows us that God rules all history and will bring it to a consummation in his Son, Jesus Christ. If we read it with that point in mind, we'll also be able to understand it. If we read it in that point, and we're going to try as best I can to look at it from God's perspective, there are a lot of things written in there for us and for people in the past and people in the future maybe, and we need to try to look at it from God's point of view, not our point of view. We will not necessarily understand every detail. That's my endeavor or my point. But it's not necessary to understand every detail in order to profit spiritually from the book. I don't think you have to understand every little tidbit about the color of that dragon or the dress of one of the witnesses, but it is important for us to look at all of it. And I believe we can profit spiritually if we'll seriously study it. So we finally get to our text, and I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelations 1:1-3, and it goes like this. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. Jesus shows those who serve God what will happen soon. God made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. John gives witness to everything he saw. The things he gives witness to are God's word and what Jesus Christ had said. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and think everything it says is important. The time when these things will come true is near. That's the end. Looking at the world scene, I think more and more we're nearing events that are written here in Revelations. So Revelation makes this point in the first few verses. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, it reads like the Father gives this revelation to his Son. Then his Son is giving it to John, and the Holy Spirit helps us understand it. So the Father gives it to the Son, the Holy Spirit takes it to John, and then the Holy Spirit helps us understand it. That's what it's saying. Think about the word revelation by itself. How would you define it? I think it means disclosure or unveiling. It indicates that it's disclosure rather than conceals its message. So I think that's the word. It is a disclosure of what's happening. It's an unveiling. It indicates, it discloses things. It doesn't try to conceal them. As we try to understand Revelations, it's not meant for us not to be able to understand what those guys are saying to us. Look at it this way. God is revealing his plan. It's his revelation. Jesus knows our need for it. This is to his servants. That's us. His purpose is to show what will take place and not keep it from us. So several times when Jesus was on earth, he would sit on top of the Mount of Olives or the mount overlooking Jerusalem and show his disciples, tell his disciples what is going to take place in the future. He didn't want them to be caught off guard. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. A on your outline. The Old Testament prophets, Elisha, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah, provided glimpses of the future. So your four blanks are the name Isaiah, the name Ezekiel, Daniel, and Zechariah. As we've been reading through the Old Testament chronologically recently, we've looked at these books and thought about the prophecies given to Daniel not so long ago. See, God has been, he is, showing his plan to us. Back then, before they went into captivity, in captivity, and after captivity, God has been showing us his plan and what's going to happen. B on your outline. Jesus spoke about the future, as did Peter and Paul in their inspired writings. So your three blanks are Jesus spoke about it, then Peter is your second blank, and then Paul is your third. Jesus, Peter, and Paul. John gives us the most detail of anyone in the scriptures of what is going to happen in the future. I believe that God's scripture is for all people to understand. I don't believe he wrote it so people can't see what he's trying to say. If Revelation is a picture book, then it's for children too. I think God wrote it in such a way that as children look at these pictures, they can understand what is happening, what's going to happen, and most importantly, who Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is. The book of Revelation provides the most detailed look into the future of all scriptures, and it's a fitting ending of God's revelation of himself to us in the Bible. It's the last book, and it's fitting that at the end he would tell us what's coming next. This is where I have experienced problems in studying Revelations in the past. I have encountered this attitude from people. Quote, you can't possibly understand this without my help. You need to be an expert like me to understand this book. And I have had several people who tried to explain it to me say, oh, you can't understand this without my help. You have to become an expert like me with years of study and thought on this. And that led me to believe this. I know I don't read very well. There's illustrations of that in this message. I spell even worse, and I've never really been a book smart guy. So I come to the conclusion, yeah, you're right. I can't do this on my own. And I believed that lie. The truth is, I can understand it. And there are people who do better at it than I can. Obviously, if I'm using Mr. MacArthur as one of our guides, there are people who understand this better than I do, but I can understand it. So here's the bottom line. I can do the best I can. That's all my father asks of me, is doing the very best that I can to understand it. That's all Dad wants. That's all Father wants of you, too. If you will give him 100%, that's all he asks of you. If you go into this full tilt, hard, trying to understand it, that's all he wants. See on your outline. This is the only biblical book that comes with a blessing for the one who listens to its message and then responds in obedience. So your four blanks are blessing, listens, responds, obedience. So the blessing comes when you read it, listen to what the message says, and then you respond to it in obedience to what you've learned. That's where the blessing comes, and there's a promise of a blessing. After I put that into the outline, later I thought of this, honor your father and your mother, and it'll go well for you all of your life. And so, I might have misthought that one, but this definitely is the Word of God saying from this text, if you study it and you understand it and then you obey and believe what's going on, you'll get blessed. So, I also discovered this. This is the first of seven Beatitudes in the book. Revelations 1:3 has one. Revelations 14:13 has another one. Revelations 16:15, 19:9, 26, 22:7, and 14, all are Beatitudes. I didn't know that. I thought when Jesus gave his message on the Mount of Olives really early in his earthly ministry, and it's titled the Beatitudes, that's all there were. But the fact is, he still gives Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. And this first promise is one of his Beatitudes. Next week, I want to take a look at John, because the author John is an interesting guy. As we read John chapter 1 in our reading through the Bible today, there's a clear difference in how John looks at Jesus. So this week, we've read the first chapter of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and now John. And John just looks at Jesus in a whole different light. I mean, he's a way big picture of Jesus, more than the other authors of the Gospels. We've thought and talked about God's grand drama, Arat. I like that term, that the things we saw going on in the book of Acts are a part of God's grand drama. And we've never looked at all the pictures and designs of the upcoming events in detail like this before, but I think these are just casting scripts for the grand drama that's going to unfold. We get to look at the script that is written for this drama to unfold. I expect God to challenge my thinking and beliefs in his picture book of Revelation. I expect to be challenges. And I expect what I believe about the book to be challenged. Many people have taught me what they think about this book, but I can confess that I have never really tried to understand it by or for myself. Never really have, and part of it's that intimidation factor of you got to be an expert to understand this thing. How about you? Have you ever taken the time to look through this and study this on your own? Honestly, I've always thought and believe this. God's got it all worked out. He will get it the way he wants. So, I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to worry about what's in Revelations. That's the way I've looked at it. I've always thought this is going to happen, but until he tells me I've got a role to play in it, I'll just say, he's going to do it the way he wants to, and I'll just go along. Obviously, since God's Holy Spirit has directed us to study Revelation together, he has new things for me and us. When God showed me early on in this year that he wanted us to study this next, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit directed us here. As we read and study the book of Revelation, think about these two things. We study the book to know the author. We want to know Jesus better at the end of our study. And it's a picture book, not a puzzle book. If we look at the pictures, I think we'll understand, and not look at it as parts of a puzzle to fit together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted again for the testimony of your Bible that you love us and you want us to understand what's going to happen. And more importantly, you want us to know and understand the power, the wonder, the role of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as we step into the study of Revelations, open our minds, open the doors and the windows so we can see what it is you want us to discover. And then as we obey what we understand, would you allow us the privilege of leading others closer to Jesus Christ as we know the author better? We pray in his perfect name. Amen. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears.
me want to change.